The Off the Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province. Join some of the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht as we travel round the country to preview the 2026-27 rugby season. Don't miss your chance to be there. Get your tickets now at offtheball.com/events.
Folks, hello and welcome to Late Night League of Ireland with myself, Shane Keegan. We have a lot to get through tonight, I should say. I am flying solo here again tonight, so I'm very, very much at the mercy of our callers. I'm aware of the fact we haven't had a full schedule tonight. Quite a lot of our regular callers, even, I suppose, tend to be Bose or Pats or Derry or Dundalk. So if I'm not going to have those usuals on tonight and no co-host, I'm very, very much reliant maybe on some new voices chiming in and giving their opinions on everything that they go on tonight. Because, as I say, even though we didn't have a full schedule, we certainly have plenty to cover. We have League of Ireland Premier Division, we have League of Ireland First Division, and we have Club Orange Men's FAI Cup. So plenty to get through. Don't be shy, buzz in, or else it'll be me talking to myself and I'll run out of energy for that very, very quickly. So to fly down through the results, starting in the League of Ireland Premier Division, we had a nil-all draw between Shamrock Rovers and Shells. That is a result that will certainly have given hope, I suppose, to Bohemians and St. Patrick's Athletics fans in terms of trying to hunt down Rovers. We also have some big talking points coming on the back of Joey O'Brien's appearance on Virgin Media. A couple of interesting conversations on there between Tommy Martin and himself, that's for sure. So hopefully I would like to get your opinions on that. In the First Division, we had Bray 1, Cork City 1. A draw away at Bray was all Cork City needed to be crowned champions. So League of Ireland First Division champions for 2026 and heading back up. And they actually managed to stay up this time round and properly establish themselves as a League of Ireland Premier Division side again. We also had Cove Ramblers 1, UCD 1. UCD with a late equaliser there. That would have come as a bit of a dagger to Cove as they tried to secure their First Division playoff game or playoff position, I suppose. They'll be disappointed. Finn Harps 0. An improving Athlone Town 1. That really does start to bring Athlone Town well back into the picture. I think that leaves them one point outside the playoff spot, so they'll be very, very happy with that. And another team that are trying to cling on and still be in the playoff picture come the end is Wexford, who also managed to come away with a 1-0 win away to Treaty United. The final game of the First Division, yeah, not till tomorrow night, of course, with Longford Town. And then the all-important League of Ireland, FAI Cup quarter-final results. Waterford 3, Sligo 0. One we probably, unfortunately, could have predicted for Sligo fans, given the trajectory both clubs have been in recent months. Extremely comprehensive from Waterford, that's for sure. And then a massive one. Drogheda United 1, Galway United 2. And to say we have a contentious refereeing decision in that one is probably putting it mildly. Brandon Kavanagh opening the scoring before Stephen Walsh levelled, and then the big moment of the game, Doyle going down in the penalty box, appealing for a penalty. The ref blew the whistle. We looked to see, was it going to be a Drogheda United penalty? It wasn't. It was a free out for diving, a second yellow card for Mark Doyle, meaning he's sent off, and that leaves them down to 10 for the rest of the game. Lee Devitt, who had been prolific last season at Treaty United, a guy I expected to see goals from this year. Maybe it's taken a lot longer than we would have expected, but he did come up with an absolutely huge goal for Galway United. Believe me, having served a period of time as manager at the club, there is somewhat of an obsession with the FAI Cup at Galway United, so long since they have won one. So they will be absolutely cock-a-hoop to find themselves into the latter stages there, that's for sure. So yeah, as I said, we're really, really in need of a few callers in. We'll see how we go. We'll give it 5-10 minutes. We could have a very, very short show tonight, lads. We said we would try get it going anyway, even though I didn't have a co-host. We didn't want to be losing a week straight away on the back of only been back last week. So I'll blabber on here for 5 or 10 minutes. We'll see how we get on. Shamrock Rovers, Shells, I suppose not. It was the live game. It was the game I was watching here on Virgin. Probably not a huge amount to write home about. Very much end to end, I suppose, in the latter stages. That Healy strike just going wide of the post was possibly the closest that we got to a goal. Sorry, of course, the McGinty save was absolutely outstanding as well from Oren Casey, I think, wasn't it? But probably fair to say that the biggest talking points were back in the studio, where Joey O'Brien was an intriguing guest for them to get on, that's for sure, an intriguing guest, and wasn't shy in terms of his comments in relation to the manner in which he finished up as manager of the club, the manner in which he found out about that, and his thoughts about how he found out about that. Also went into a few bits around Paddy Barrett. That whole situation at the moment is certainly a very interesting one as well, that's for sure. I'm sure we will have Shane Kennedy, I would think, will surely jump on and give us his opinions. Haven't been at the game, he might not actually have heard the Joey O'Brien pieces, so it'll be interesting maybe to relay them to him and see what he thinks. But my blabbering has been saved by our first caller, a new name, I think. Liam, how are you keeping?
All right, Shane, how are you?
Not too bad at all, not too bad. Fair play for jumping in and saving me.
No problem. I was out in Bray last night for the Cork game.
Well, yeah, a decent, well, I don't know, you tell me, I suppose, with you going as well as you are and going 1-0 up and that, you were probably hoping you might be able to get a win out of it. Ended up being a draw. What did you make of it overall?
Yeah, they actually, they played very well, fair play to them, because they haven't been doing well last few games, so, and honestly, if you had asked me before the game, I would have definitely taken a draw, and then last 10 minutes, 1-1, we had a player sent off, so we done really well to hang on, could have gone winner if the sending off never happened, so I'm quite pleased with it.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it looked for a long time like there was going to be kind of no pressure whatsoever in terms of securing a playoff spot. Yourselves and UCD looked like the two that were nailed on, and everybody else was going to fight it out from there. But as you've said, in recent weeks, form has really, really dropped off. And looking at the table now, and at Lone Town, who are outside of the playoff spots at the moment in sixth on 40 points, only 4 points behind you. Now, listen, it would take all of the clubs beneath you, all have to pass by you, which is probably unlikely, but yeah, given how well the first half of the season went, things have been probably not as enjoyable in recent.
Last few days, that transfer window, it was an absolute killer. Losing key players, Keane Doyle to Grimsby, Dan Ring getting called back to Shells, losing our captain to injury, and losing captain and vice captain, it's not ideal, but the last few weeks it's come out to show. So, but tonight they done really well to get 1-1, I think. So, but it's now, from now here on out, it's just the consistency they need. They need to keep winning. They can't just drop off after this, after drawing 1-1 with the champions.
Yeah, and look, your next two games, if you could get your act together, Liam, your next two games, Kerry and Treaty, two teams, outside of the playoffs, down in the bottom half. If you went 6 points from six there, you'd be almost over the line.
Yeah, definitely. You need to just be looking to get as many points as you can now until the end of the season. There's a lot of home games to go now, and we're very good at home. We've only lost about two games at home since last September, so there's a lot of points for us to take up. Whereas the away games, it's hard, but we have to be looking to get as many points as possible, definitely.
Who was impressive for you tonight? Who were your best players tonight?
The keeper, Ian Hogan, 18-year-old second keeper, he is very good tonight. Who else was good? It's hard to see any standout individual, because it was really good. Endre Mustali, new striker from Albania. He's four goals in the last two games. But he didn't score tonight, but you can do, he's a very good player,
And the young fella in goal, geez, he's very young to be in it. How did that come about? He's obviously done well.
Sorry?
The young fella coming into goal, that wouldn't have been in the plan, I'm sure, originally, but he's doing very well for you, is he?
Yeah, no, he's a very good keeper, to be fair to him. And he's on loan as well, I think, from not on Bowes or something, I'm not too sure. But yeah, no, he's doing great. Like, considering he's only 18, yeah, like, fair play to him.
For sure. Ben McCormack back in around things in the last week or two as well, is he? He'd been out for a while, if he hadn't he?
Yeah, he's come back within the last few weeks. And honestly, I said it at the match, I actually didn't think he was great tonight. Like, a lot of the times, usually his passing is perfect, like, but a lot of sloppy hospital passes, you know, sloppy passes, but still. But yeah, he's been a key player all season. We need to hopefully hold on to players like that at the end of the season. But
yeah, sure. And talk to me, so let's assume you do what you need to do and secure that playoff spot, as I expect you will do. How confident would you be heading into it in terms of the other teams that are in and around G? Who would you be looking to avoid in a semi-final, maybe?
Honestly, like on our day, we could beat anyone in that league, even Cork, like. But we have to be on it, and like teams, like, I don't think you want to be playing. You don't really want to be playing away to Kerry or something in the semi-final. Like, that's really, really hard. But like, I'd back us to beat anyone on our day. And like, before we lost all the players, I was fully confident we're gonna get to the final. But obviously now the circumstances have changed. But I still think, like, on our day, if all the players are on it, we can beat anyone.
Yeah, it was. I'd agree with you. I would say the team that you had together over that first half of the season, I would have seen it impossible really to be anything other than yourselves and UCD in the first division playoff. But are you seeing enough in the last couple of weeks to say that there is a, I mean, that guy you mentioned up front there tonight, you know, is he a good enough player that you think he could at least win the first division side of things and then see if he could get a crack at the Premier Division side?
Yeah, definitely. Like, he you want to see him, he's a big fella, like, he's massive, like, he has a, and for a big fella, like, he has a very good touch and all, so, he's so much strength. I definitely think it's just all the players, like, they need to be, it's just about the consistency, and I've always said it, it's the consistency that kills them. Like, all of the players, like, 1 week, you know, I was only saying it about Ben McCormack, like, last week, I didn't see much of the game, but he could have been amazing, and now this week, he wasn't on it. So it's just about the consistency, I think, for autumn.
For sure. And come here, before I let you go, Liam, what have the crowds and the atmosphere been like out there over the last few weeks?
I think our last home game actually was about a month ago, but overall throughout the season, like, the crowds have been very good. Like regularly breaking 1,000, which is good for first division team. It's great to see. You know, I it's great seeing everyone come out, watch the, yeah, and there's a great mix of people, young people, older people, you know, it's great.
Absolutely. That's brilliant. Listen, Liam, fair play. Great to get a new voice on the show. Thanks a million for joining.
No problem. Thanks, Shane.
Fair play to you. Brilliant, Liam. And we do have one of our regulars again into save me, even though his own side weren't playing tonight. Anthony, did you get to a game elsewhere or just watch it on the TV?
No, I was just watching a couple of games on TV, Shane. I watched the second half of Drogheda and Galway on the laptop while I was watching Shells and Rovers in the background.
Double screen. Well, I'll jump straight in at the deep end then. Mark Doyle, dive or not?
There wasn't enough to go down, sure there wasn't, like, it was kind of, you're asking for it really, but there's such high kind of stake games, and it's in some ways a lot of the two club seasons would nearly be riding on that game. Just seems like an awful lot, like, a little bit of common sense could have prevailed. I don't know, is that a fair thing, like, it's rules.
Is he caught between a rock and a hard place? Like, Can he just not give a penalty, but also not give a second yellow? Would there have been much uproar from either end?
No.
If he had tried to go that route?
No, I think they're dead right. I think that's the way forward with that. But Can you apply common sense and the rules at the same time? No. So look, would have been probably a better game after that happened. Drogheda were kind of boxed in and they tried to sit deep and go long, but they'd nothing long, so there was no out ball for them. And then the opposite, as soon as the goal went in, Galway United were on their 6-yard box, and Drogheda had 6, 7, 8 chances to put the ball in and around dangerous areas, and there it was actually a very decent game, to be honest with you. In terms of position, how deep both teams were at different stages of the game was just and kind of knowingly so was the strange thing. Like, you're talking about the difference of about 90 yards after a goal. It's so fascinating to watch. But like, I suppose if you are defending like that and that's your kind of you're accepting that that's it. It's fascinating that a goal can change you that much. Like,
yeah, I suppose they are two teams that would back themselves to be able to keep an opposition up and their backs are to the wall. They're both quite happy to give up the ball when they get their nose in front. So if any game was going to play out that way, I know you were saying, I think you said you didn't switch over to that one until the second half. But have you managed to have a look at Brandon Kavanagh's goal from the first half yet?
Oh, I'm trying to get it up here now as you're saying that.
He's in some form, I'll tell you. After the cracker that he got last week, this one is he picks the ball up in almost the exact same area. It's a different kind of goal in that he has to weave in and out through a couple of bodies first, and it's a low finish along the ground rather than a dink. But it's two absolutely brilliant goals in the space of 2 weeks from him.
Yeah, he's a special talent, like, isn't he? Like, let's call a spade a spade.
I'm sure he is. I mean, our last caller there, our last caller Liam, I remember, actually, what was it now, two, three years ago, is it, since Bray were in the playoffs and they played Galway United in AMDC Park, and I drove across to it to get a look that night, and he was by so far away the best player on the pitch the same night. It was absolutely, and he did look, he got a couple of bigger clubs, I suppose, at the back of that. But I don't know, again, it's the usual thing with players like that, the skillful, tricky players like that. It's whether they can nail a level of consistency, isn't it?
And they don't, because no winger in the world does. I switched over and watched the end of Troy Parrott there before he jumped on, and you're looking at it, and the Real Madrid wingers, they're at the same thing. Like, they're hot and cold. It's when sooner managers realise that you're gonna have hot and cold spells with your flair players, it's more easy to accept, isn't it? Nearly. It's the same with like Bowes. Ross Tierney comes in out of form. Harry Vaughan comes in and out form. It's the way. But like, yeah, Kavanagh is like, on his day, you'd pay the money in to watch him just alone, wouldn't you? Like,
yeah, no, listen, 100%. Tell me, you watched a bit of the Virgin game as well, did you?
Yeah, did, yeah. I didn't hear, and Shane might jump on there, so I don't want to talk too much about other people's teams, but I didn't hear Joey at the start either, so no, I don't know what he said. I suppose I'll get it back on Twitter later on. But
like you said, I won't overly quote it yet. I do see we have got Dwayne Doyle waiting as a shelfman, so I'll hold back. But just even ignoring Joey for the minute, what the actual game itself, what did you make of the two sides?
I didn't think it was a great game. I was expecting a little bit more, if I'm being totally honest. I watched Rovers last week against Derry in the second half. They were excellent and they played with confidence and they looked like they were going to turn the screw at any minute maybe the last 25 minutes, the net half an hour. And they didn't have that about them today. They looked sloppy when they made their changes and made them worse. Second half, they were, I know they did have a couple of chances on the transitions, but the second half they really surprised me, and the vice versa Shells. I thought Russell was really really brave, and he made his changes, and he brought Ali Coote on, he brought Bang on, and got them into the forward areas. They shifted the ball a lot quicker in the second half, and they're probably more disappointed not to come away with the 3 points than Rovers. Like, Rovers would be kind of going, look, we didn't play well, we didn't lose, we're still chipping away. I suppose what I was putting myself in Rovers' shoes, or Stephen Bradley, well, not Stephen Bradley's shoes, because he doesn't ever seem to get too worried about it. He gives that impression anyway when he's talking to the media. But I suppose I was a Rovers fan and I was looking at it to go to Richmond Park next week, and I think I don't know if the Bowes game is the week after or the week after the Waterford game, but when you had a couple of games in hand and you were 6, 7, 8 points clear and you were going well in Europe and everybody was going to be playing, now all of a sudden it's okay, we're in each car next week, they're not shooting the lights out by any stretch of the imagination. They seem to have lost a little bit of pace. I don't know where you get their pace from, the fullbacks kind of I know your man Asamoah hasn't been playing, but he offers that, he didn't play tonight, but I don't know if they're going a little bit more solid just to not concede, but they seem to just lose that sort of burst of pace, that they don't have. So I suppose if I was a Rovers fan, I'd be worried about the next couple of weeks. Overall, I probably don't see Bowes and Pats putting enough wins together in a row to kind of to put them under enough pressure, even if they were to falter over the next couple of weeks. But we might get a title race out of it, so we might get.
The big thing is you're probably both going to need to beat the Marchie.
Yes. But this is what I'm saying, Shane. For all of us that follow the league, and for the neutral even at this point, if there was a game to put a team like Shea or a team like Pats or Bowes within striking distance of them, that's all we're looking for. We're only looking for a game that we can't take our eyes off because the league title is up for grabs. We haven't had that in a couple of years. Not even when Shells won it, they were far ahead, and I know Rovers were catching them, but we never had that sort of one game where it could flip the whole thing over. And I suppose it's a little bit more intriguing that there's three teams could, I'm not saying it's there yet, but three teams could potentially get into that kind of three-way battle for it.
It would be something else, wouldn't it, if we were heading in to the last weekend of October and you had Pats and Bowes going toe to toe on the final day of the season, hoping Dundalk could do them a favour over our Rovers. Like, it would be absolutely brilliant way to wrap things up, wouldn't it?
It would kind of give it it would give it the whole season and the whole league the spotlight. It'll be first on the sports headlines, on the national news, if that sort of stuff happens. And we're probably, although we get a lot of coverage around Europe and stuff, well, probably not enough, but it would be nice to put a front and centre with that sort of thing if we could get that. But here's to hoping.
Listen, before, I know we've touched on it a bit in recent weeks, but just again, I suppose looking at tomorrow, where's your head at? What's the expectations? What do you think? How are you feeling?
In terms of Washington, sorry, the run-in for both.
Oh, sorry, in terms of the FAI Cup game.
I don't know. Over the years, I wouldn't really be thinking that we'd get that ever when we went out to Inchicore. It's one of them sort of monkey on the back sort of venues. But that being said, Bowes at the minute, every ball they kick seems to go in the back of the net. There's 5 against Derry, 3 against Sligo, 4 against Longford in the cup. So what I was critical of Bowes, and a lot of people were, was they played a lot of football, created a lot of chances, and they just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. Now all of a sudden the striker, and I see it is the big thing in football, isn't it? The striker can put the ball in the back of the net. All of a sudden Douglas James Taylor's there, Colin Whelan is there to back him up. We have the wingers firing on all cylinders. So I wouldn't back against Bowes tomorrow by any stretch of the imagination, just purely based on form and the fact that they're all in good form and their confidence should be at the peak. And then Pats are a bit hit and miss, aren't they? Like, some days you go out and you see them and they're flying, and then other times they're kind of, and especially when they need to win and they're backs against the wall and they're kind of going, we expect them to kick on, to kind of let you down a little bit. So from that point of view, I'd probably put Bowes as slight favourites, but sure, that's probably overanalyzing it.
you may get your money on, so, because I'm looking here and fucking hearing bookmakers have you at 2-1, so there's definite value in there to put your money where your heart is, isn't it?
I might take you up on that anyway.
I think it has the potential to be a cracker. The idea of flicking that on tomorrow after an evening and getting an absolute belter of a game between the two of them would be super. So fingers crossed from that perspective. Listen, Anthony, fair play for jumping on.
Not a bother. Mind yourself, Shane. Thanks.
Thanks a million. Talk to you later. Yes, so I mentioned we have, I think, Dwayne, I don't think this would be a first appearance on the show. Were you on with us before?
It's not Doyler, it's Shane Kennedy here.
Ah, very good.
Doyler's in the car with me, and he found me, we're on, but we found his pit.
Fair.
So I had to say, get this guy, I found Doyler.
Good. Fair play to him for helping out. No, I was thinking, Jez, we couldn't go without hearing you from tonight. Were you listening to Joey?
I didn't hear that. No, I didn't know I was on. That's why my phone wasn't charged. I knew you were on, and I told you that I was charged. Anyway, what did you say? On repeat yourself.
Yeah, so no, I haven't said anything on it yet. Look, I suppose there was two contentious talking points. He was very open and honest. It seems to be his way. In fairness, he'd know better. But obviously the first point was Tommy asked him about his departure from the club and how he felt about it, and he revealed that he got a text while on the training ground telling him that he was sacked. Now, listen, you're only getting one side of the story. You have to take him at his own word. But yeah, needless to say, he did feel that was a very, very, very poor way of the club handling his departure after the period of time that he'd had there and that. So I suppose ye that were in the loop, would ye already have heard those kind of rumours before?
No, genuinely, even if I did hear it, I wouldn't say, obviously, but I actually didn't, and I haven't even heard a whisper of that, like, so, which is good that at least that was kept in house if it was the case. But like you said, it's hard to comment when you don't know your side. But then the other thing is, does Joey O'Brien really need to lie about something like that? But ultimately I wanted him gone, so again, I mean, could the club have handled it better? Probably, if it was through text message. It's probably not the way to do it, but ultimately he's probably going to be grieving, so to speak, that he's gone.
Look, he is. As I say, it is always hard to have an open discussion when you're only getting one side of the story. I don't know who does that. Who would in the show?
How would you be in like Galway, Shane, if you were able to say, like, how would...
Enough. It's a good question. Enough water has probably passed under the bridge for me to be able to talk reasonably open about it. I'm sure lots of different managers would have lots of different stories as to how it came to an end. But I would played a game on a Friday night, Shane. We were away to Wexford. Wexford were doing poorly and we only got a nil-all draw down there. I would have felt I was in a bit of trouble after that. I would have got a text from a member of the board lunchtime the following day. And his text would have told me that, look, you're going to get asked in for a meeting tomorrow and you're going to be at the bullet. He just wanted to give you a heads up. So I appreciated that little bit of a heads up from somebody that I had a tight relationship in there. At that stage then it sounded like the decision was fully made, and rather than going in and fighting for your position, it was more so a case of getting a bit of legal advice as to where you stood in terms of the remainder of your contract and, you know, where you stood financially and all of that kind of crap. So I just kind of tried to arm myself for that conversation in the 24 hours or so before I went in. But yeah, you walked into a room, and to be fair, I've always said that I would have had a really, really good relationship with the people who were running the club, so there was no real fallout. They gave the reasons as to why they made the decision. I gave my reasons as to why I thought they were making the wrong decision. Ultimately, they weren't going to change their mind, so then it just becomes a conversation around severance. And to be honest with you, Shane, 20 minutes later, I was actually sitting in the bar with a member of that board, helping him discuss potential options for them going forward. You know, we kind of would have ended reasonably amicably, but that would be the exception, I suppose, more so than the common way that things would end, you know.
Yeah, or maybe that could have been what happened then. He might have got a similar text for the heads up, maybe. And he just said, good luck, I'm not going to a meeting, maybe, potentially. But I suppose even hearing that someone gave you a heads up to a text, maybe it's not as uncommon as you think or whatever, I don't know. But potentially, maybe he got that week. Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah, people are going to put the John O'Sullivan story out there as well, and then you see what's going on with Paddy as well, and people may come to conclusions and probably back that side. Maybe Paddy Barra has more going on than he thinks. I don't know if you're going to ask me about that situation.
That was the second interesting comment by Joey. Obviously, Tommy was going to put it to him, you know, about Paddy's situation. And again, look, I suppose Joey just said, again, what you would have expected, because Paddy was obviously an integral part of things under Joey, so he was always going to back his man. And really, Joey just came out and said that as a player, but even more so as a person, he found Paddy to be absolutely top class to deal with, and was surprised at the situation that Paddy had found himself in, but that he could only assume, he says, Paddy is, as a player, is of a standard that it has to be more than just his playing ability that's under question. And he just felt that there'd been some sort of a fallout in the background between the two, which I suppose is the conclusion that all the rest of us were jumping to ourselves. So yeah, again, what's your own take on
I will just come to the conclusion, unfortunately, there's now probably no bigger fan than Paddy Barrett than me. Actually, when we won the league a few years ago, the only person I asked for a picture at the time was him. And I left all the players, but he was the one. So it's come to an end where I just think John Russell's made a decision, and Paddy's been not at the races this season, I think, for me. And he's just said, look, you're not in the starting 11 anymore, and potentially, again, how we go about doing that, no one really knows the full story, but I'd say Paddy just didn't really. But he's made multiple mistakes. Although someone reminded me tonight, he even made a mistake down in Sligo in front of John Russell when he was manager. I mean, the Waterford mistake and Ajax, he probably body shape or whatever, I know it's Ajax, but crosses in the box, didn't cover himself in glory, but obviously he has the pass. But look, it's a shame how everything has come to an end for him, which it does look like. And all the players, look, there's going to be more players that are going to leave that won the league for us, but that's football, isn't it? Tonight we were really good, and I don't know if you probably watched the game yourself, Shane, did you?
I did, yeah. I was going to ask what you made of it. Yeah, you'd have to be happy with that performance, I would have thought.
Yeah, and look, the big substitution at half time was Gano's another one that's going to be in the same boat for me. I just don't think he's at the races anymore, unfortunately. I was delighted to see him go off in the sense of tonight. I thought Bang was, I've been wanting him to play right centre half all season when we play in a back five, because he's similar to Sabawali, which I don't know how Morris gave him man of the match. I thought he was absolutely brutal. I couldn't believe, I thought Chuck is a defender and he's the attacking wing back at home. I thought Sabawali was rubbish. But I thought Bang changed the game for us when he came on. Right centre half, he's the game's more in front of him and he has that recovery pace. I thought Caffrey was brilliant, Chuck was good defensively. Meepo, if we had Meepo all season, it's a different game. But Joey can't really cry about injuries when we're playing at home to Sligo and he's got Sam Bowen right centre half who won't cross the halfway line. Where you look at Mbeng tonight, where you're thinking, right, maybe Mbeng could have played at home against Sligo when you're pinning them in and he might give you something going forward. Where Sam Bowen playing right centre half, like I said, just not that type of player at home to a park bus. He's put Casey in the middle of the back three as well, and he looks more attacking in there, I think. I thought we were good tonight, and if we can keep everyone fit, and I don't know, signings are obviously key, and everyone's going outside the league these days, aren't they? But yeah, Roddy up front doesn't look at the races, does he?
Yeah, and look, I mean, when you look at obviously the McGinty save, I don't know if it looked as good in the ground as it did on TV. He gets the bit of feckin' luck with it hitting the inside of the post and rolling back across to him as well. I thought even after he made the save, I thought it was going to hit the inside of the post and still go in. But I mean, that was an outstanding save. So like, even I know it wasn't a completely clear cut chance for Sean Young, you know, for Sean Moore at the end, but I thought that was a half decent chance as well. Like, there'd be an element to be disappointed not to come away with all three.
Yeah, and even after 70 minutes we had them pinned in. We made the changes, Rovers made their changes, and we had the ball. I mean, you go away to Rovers. Rovers game suits us though. But yeah, it became a bit of an end-to-end game, and then they put Adam Brennan in midfield, and then he ended up taking them off because they lost control of it and put John O'Sullivan in there. But I'd be very worried if I was Rovers, to be honest, Shane. I thought they weren't at the races at all. People are talking about we have a title race. Not to pile any pressure on Bowles or Pats. I know Pats's goal scoring or goal difference, I think, might be better than Rovers. I mean, it's back in their hands again, isn't it? Like, so you want to have a title race, it's a title race. Go home, win at home against Rovers, and go win a game in hand at the top of the league.
They've certainly been underwhelming. They've opened the door. The problem was, as we know, is, you know, look, both teams are level on points, so they've obviously messed up equally as much. It just seems like Pats have messed up more than Bowes anytime there seems to have been an opportunity. But if they could go and win that one next weekend, it's properly on, Dennis. And it's a bad situation for Bowes fans that they're going to have to, I suppose, hope and pray that Pats can go and do them a favour. But obviously, Bowes need to do their own job on next weekend as well.
Yeah. What did you think of Sam Wiley, man of the match, Shane? Am I going mad there, or was that bizarre?
So look, the one thing with Subwani is he's never not involved, if you get me. Like, he's such a standout player in the sense that he's an all-action hero kind of a thing. Look, I think if he could improve his composure on the ball, I think obviously his biggest assets are his physical attributes. The man is a machine, and he's up and down. That's why he's so eye-catching. That's why I think it's easy to go to him for who would. Look, I'll throw it back to you. Who would you have given it to?
Well, for Rovers, I would have probably given it to Ed McGinty if I'm going to give it to anyone. Mm-hmm. But they're at home, so like they should be attacking team. I mean, you could have given it to Caffrey, I thought was brilliant. If you're going to think of Subwali, then you think of his mark at Chuck, who defensively, Subwali must have tripped over the ball about four times in the first half. He's 27 years of age, like, and I know he's been ranting and raving about this season, but for me, it's just, I don't know. Casey was good. Anyone. Yeah, he was good. Quite simple playing in the middle of a tree, but he was a bit more aggressive. But probably would have gone with Caffo or even Ned McGinty for the save.
You see, in a nil-all game, he's obviously looking at the defensive options. Very hard to give it to any attacking there. He did mention Freitas and Burke as both been decent up until the points where they were.
I mean, no offence to Morris, but now we can see why we let him go. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, yeah. Mad, bizarre. I couldn't believe that, though. Well, look, there's progress there. There's a team there. If we don't know who we signed a few players for next season. Even Ledwidge held up Afolabi, unbelievable, in that 1v1 there at the end, which Ben gets back. But El Camo reminded me of Van Dijk defending. He did.
I'm not sure exactly how many games Russell's had at this stage, but I mean, what's the general? You're at the point now where you've got a decent kind of parameter of you know where he's at and what he's trying to do. What's the general kind of feeling around the place towards him so far?
I think there's a lot of fans that are happy that he's, for footballing reasons, Paddy hasn't been good enough, and I think the fans are happy that we just need to get a bit cleared out, and then no one's really made any decisions. They just know that he needs to clear, I suppose in football terms, a dead wood out, if that, without disrespecting anyone, but just to show that word out there, and then give him signings and let him put his own stamp on the team, which he's clearly doing. And then we're going to judge him over next season.
Yeah.
He was never going to come in and try and win games for the sake of winning games, I don't think, because he's trying to build. Do you know what I mean? So next season was always his aim. Had he started early, but we didn't, or had he started a bit better, but he came in with Europe, and you've seen how that went for Bowles, ourselves, and Rovers. It's easy to criticise from the outside, but, and he's so many injuries as well, which isn't his fault. But no, people are happy. People are happy with him so far that he's kind of changing it up. And yeah,
how heavily do you think he'll be backed financially in between seasons?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but he's getting his players that he probably wants in, and We'll see if anyone we lose to any other teams. I'd imagine Meebo will be gone abroad, hopefully, if he doesn't, because I really like him. I think he gets a lot of unnecessary stick for me, but yeah, I'd say we'll have a few bob there to hopefully go back in the window. You'd like to think we're kind of well run. I know the wages are high, but interesting, Jarvis didn't get on tonight. Now he's been a bit of a disaster, but
yeah, that's one that's really surprised me.
Yeah, but I can understand from a football reason why, but when you're on that much money and you're trying to win a game, yeah, but now look forward to next year, hopefully. Anyways, I think Ford has probably gone out of reach, so probably just cheer on. Coughlin, I think, deserves to win the cup, doesn't he?
Yeah, listen, absolutely unbelievable the one that he's on. I don't know, I still think Ford is gettable. I just don't know if Ford will actually end up qualifying. I know it has for the last few years, but you know, the way the draw has gone and stuff, it's the 1 year number Ford might not get. I mean, four or five points behind with game in hand?
I think we're five now with a game in hand, yeah. I just don't see us going on the run to win enough games from our own point of view, and then obviously you have to hope Dundalk and then Derry kind of slip up a little bit as well. Look, a good end to the season. If he does change players around, like a bang right centre half and things like that, then like, we need to start winning. He hasn't won in five, to be fair, so he will need to finish. But then Joey finished last season unbelievable, and on that season before that, and we started pretty well, so
yeah,
maybe something different for next year.
Yeah, listening in disguise. Shane, you're a gent, fair play for jumping on.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Shane.
Stuff. Talk to you later.
Alright,
folks, we will probably leave it at that for tonight, a little bit shorter than normal. I think we got about the good 3/4 of an hour in, and fair play for the couple that jumped in, as I say. Just no co-host tonight, with Lance been pulled in various different directions. Ben himself was in Tala for that game as well, so he was. But listen, I think keeping the show on the road and trying to make sure we have a weekly show from now right through to the end of the season should be the aim. So appreciate those that jumped on to listen, and even more so those that jumped on to have a chat with us. Thanks very much and good night.
The Off the Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province. Join some of the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht as we travel round the country to preview the 2026-27 rugby season. Don't miss your chance to be there. Get your tickets now at offtheball.com/events. The Off the Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province. Armed with the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht, we'll be travelling around the country to preview the 2026-2027 rugby season. Get your tickets while you still can at offtheball.com/events.